All right. Good evening. Let's go ahead and get started. And we're looking forward to our evening tonight and spending some time in prayer and meaningfully praying and using John chapter 1 as our guide. And I love these nights, and hopefully it's an encouragement to all of us and honoring to Christ through that. A couple quick announcements. Reminder, next Sunday evening is the children's Christmas program. That's always a great time of fellowship, always a great time to see visitors coming into the church, watching their grandkids and nieces and nephews and such. And so it's not just a time to be able to see the kids and worship and be reminded about who our Savior is, but it's also a great time to reach out to the community and share the love of Christ with people that may not always come to church. And so we want to make sure we have our, as Pastor said in our board meeting, our radar up and our antennas up to see these visitors and to be able to love on them with that. As part of that, we're going to do a cookie fellowship afterwards, and Teresa Huddle is going to organize that. So if you want to help out with that, come and see her and help get the cookies, get them made, and then also get them organized in a way that we can distribute those in a COVID-friendly way. And so we'll look forward to those. Wednesday evening, we're going to continue our Advent series, thinking about what did Mary ponder from Luke chapter 2. We're going to talk about joy, and we're going to look at that through the passage at the end of Luke chapter 1, where she goes and visits Elizabeth and the events that happen around that story there. So we'll be looking at those on the 23rd. Correct. 23rd, the senior group that's been meeting is organizing a community dinner. Anything else you'd like to say about that? Okay, so got plenty to do. So yeah, Ray, go and see Ray if you want to help out with that. You want to participate in that. It's something we want to see the community be invited to, and so on. So we want to make sure that we continue to support that, and then also help out with that. And the Lord will use that to reach our community to be able to do that. On the 24th, some has been asking. Dennis is going to organize, like he has the past few years, just a quick half hour, 45 minute service, get together, sing some praises and some testimonies and other things that are happening there. So Dennis will be coming out with more details about that on the 24th. So that we'll look forward to hearing about those items there. Any other announcements that I'm forgetting? All right. Well, we're looking forward to January. A lot of ministries kicking back off. This is a busy time, but it's also a great time to be able to spend some time thinking about our Savior coming to earth in order to rescue us and to provide a way for us to live in fellowship and to be saved. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll turn it over to Pastor for our business meeting, and then we'll launch into our prayer service from there. So, all right. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for all of the many blessings that you have given us. We are unworthy people, and you have blessed us in mighty ways, Lord. We thank you for the gift of grace. We thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for the gift of prayer and the opportunity we have to come together corporately and do that in a way that we're not scared about any oppression or persecution, but rather we can do this freely and spend some time coming to you in prayer, and entering the throne room and just pouring out our hearts and worshiping you. And Lord, I pray that as we do that tonight, we can continue to worship you. Pray that you would be honored and glorified through the things that happen tonight, that we would be encouraged and walk away just with a great appreciation of who you are, Lord. Lord, we also thank you for all the ministries that we have possible at the church here, and just pray that you would just continue to just allow us to serve in a way that we can see you magnified and disciples being made, that we would see people growing in their sanctification with our Savior, growing in their sanctification. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to continually to walk faithfully in those. We have some key ministries coming up around Christmas. People will be going and visiting family and friends that may not know you, and people will be attending these ministries that may not know you. I pray that you'd be working in their hearts even today, that you would be softening them, that you would be just doing the miraculous work of showing them their need, and that way we can share the hope that we have in you. And Lord, when we do, we see people come to know you as Savior and be added to our fold, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would just save people this holiday season as a result of our ministry, either one-on-one or as a group, Lord. Lord, I just thank you again for the business of the church and the way that you continue to bless us with resources and people. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to use those wisely as good stewards in order to see the kingdom advance, and I saw in your precious name. Amen.
Second Sundays are so significant at Wheelersburg Baptist. It's on the second Sundays of each month that we have our combined board meeting where we take time to work through all the things that happen behind the scenes, and so that meeting just happened. Second Sundays is when we have an evening service and we do some church family type things. And tonight will be two of those things. One is financial accountability and some things I'll be bringing to you here. And then most of our time tonight will be coming to the throne of grace and praying and then having communion. This is so important for us to just take time in our business time to look back and look ahead. You have been so faithful as a church family and in giving and so forth. So we want to provide accountability each month on what's happening with those funds. So we have a financial report that has been distributed. You have that in front of you. You can see both the designated funds there, what's happened, and then you can see the income for the month. It's just November was another wonderful month. 26,000 came in, and 15,000 went out. That surplus enables us to do things. For instance, you'll see here in a moment what we're recommending, but the financial report has been distributed. Our treasurer is not here tonight, but we can answer questions if there are any. Any questions about this month's financial report, you'll see the numbers there. So, and if there are no questions, would someone like to make a motion to approve this report? And we'll need a second as well. Okay, Gene Powell with the motion to approve it. Is there a second to that? Okay, Dave Huddle with the second. Any discussion, questions or comments? Hearing none, let's proceed to vote on that. All in favor of approving the motion to approve the financial report, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. That motion carries. Three items to then present to you from the combined board with their recommendation. One, we'd like to give a gift of $100 to all of our retired missionaries. I don't have the exact number. It's somewhere in the neighborhood of seven or eight. So this will be not to exceed $1,000. It's we'd like to just bless them. Some of them, like Bob and Doreen Hayes, we don't have much contact with them. Others we see more often. But all of our retired missionaries taken from the surplus and our general fund balance. So that's a recommendation. But if you're inclined to do that, we'll need a motion. Who'd like to make that? Okay, Scott Bruns with the motion. Is there a second? Okay. Rex Howe with the second. Any discussion? We love our missionaries. We've got a wonderful team of missionaries. Some have served many years, and particularly those who are retired, this will be just a way to say we love you. So. All right. Let's vote on that. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. That motion carries. If you have not seen some improvements around this part of the building, you want to take a walk over and see what's happening in some remodeling of rooms and so forth. This particular motion is to allocate the purchase of 11 tables for the remodeled Sunday school room behind this wall right here. Neat things have happened in there, wall being removed, just a bright. We need some new tables, so that's going to be a not to, I think we have an exact number on that, the 1,610. Do we need to go higher than that? So that's a $1,610 expense taken from the June Conley designated fund. There was a gift given. The balance that's in that taken from there, and what's needed in addition to that. I don't have the exact breakdown, but the first portion will come from that fund, and then the balance will be taken from as a non-budgeted general fund expense. So the total is $1,610 recommendation. So if you're inclined to do that, we'll need a motion and a second. So, okay. Gene Powell with the motion. Is there a second? All right, Ray Brown with second. I've said this before, just as for the sake of some of the new folks who are newer. If you want to be recognized, what am I about to say, church family? If you want people to be reading the church minutes in 100 years and know that you were a part of this church, you got to get on these motions. That's the only way. That's a real high reason, right? You're with enjoying the Lord at that point, and you want people to be talking about you. No, it's a privilege to do business, and I know I get it. Some people like to make motions, and others are like, I don't want to even raise my hand. That's fine. So, but we have the motion and a second. Any discussion?
That not only includes the tables, but installation of a small cold water sink where that drinking fountain was, utilize that water and that drainage that's already there to have that available for making coffee and drinks and other things.
Thank you for that reminder. What was the comment? What did you say, Dave?
It'll be done in-house.
In-house?
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be done in that room. If you want to do it, Dan, I'll get some materials, all right?
Merry Christmas. There we go. All right. Let's proceed to vote on this. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. That motion carries.
Discussion. Our plan, as the pastor discussed it in our meeting, is that the money we're given from the Union Colonies Estate, we want to get that room finished in our new Catherine June Conley Learning and Hospitality room finished, and we're going to have a dedication. We invite her son and daughter-in-law down here, and her other children if they want to fly in from Texas, but just have a night or a morning just to dedicate those areas, because she was such a special member. We want to let them know that the money that was given to us has been used to further His kingdom here on earth. And what better way for hospitality in those areas and the learning environment too. So,
the glory of God and the ministry of people drive what happens around here. And this, I am so excited, and our prayer partners are in this room this morning, the former library, and I shared this with them. This is exactly what I was envisioning. A place where we can go following a service like this, particularly on a Sunday morning. God's word is proclaimed. People need time to process that. Where can we do that? To be able to go and sit down in a nice room with where it's quiet and people can be there and pray together, talk about what needs to happen in my life. If you haven't seen it yet, it's just a nice, nice place for that to happen. And you'll be hearing more about that when we have the dedication of it. But as you know, we were interested in purchasing the property next door. That didn't happen. We have good neighbors. Not the Jose that works at Toro Loco, but many of us know, but Jose, the owner of that, we have a good relationship with him. We've been interacting. We want to show as a good gesture, as good neighbors, we've offered, but we need authorization from you to proceed with this. We'd like to seal that parking lot. We use it a lot, and we don't have the exact number. It can't happen until weather gets warm again, so it's several months away, but we want to go ahead and allocate. Recommendation from the board is not to exceed $5,000 to seal that lot. It may be less than that, but we want to get that money set aside so that we can honor our neighbors and provide care in that way. We'll entertain a motion in a second. We can discuss this further if you want to do that. All right. Judy Mullins makes the motion. And 100 years from now, they'll know that Judy was thinking about our neighbors here. Is there a second to that? Bethany makes the second. Thank you, Bethany. Any discussion of this? Rex says he thinks it's a wonderful gesture. Yeah. All right, let's proceed to vote on this. All in that's coming, by the way, as a non-budgeted general fund expense, just to clarify. Okay. All in favor of this, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. That motion carries. Good. I was talking to a former pastor recently and mentioning we have board meeting, business meeting today, and he says, "Oh, that's really tough." I said, "I mean, our board meetings. I love our business. I mean, we're doing the Lord's work, and we have a spirit of unity here, and we even have a good time doing business. So, thank you for making that possible." Anything else business wise that anyone has before we adjourn this part? All right. Well, let's transition now, and I appreciate Pam's going to help at the piano with this. Let me prepare us by just describing what's about to happen. I so enjoy these seasons of prayer that we have as a congregation, and let me just walk us through what's going to happen. There are many things that we can do as a church to celebrate Christmas. It's good to preach sermons on the significance of the incarnation. It's good to do dramas to reflect on what happened. We can use music and use music in a variety of ways, special music, singing to shut-ins. We can involve the children by means of the children's Christmas program, and these are wonderful ways to honor God. And there are other ways, meals for the community and so forth. But there's another way that is a fitting, I think, response to the incarnation, and it's prayer. God is honored when His people pray. But typically when we think about corporate prayer, we tend to do what we've always done. We get into ruts of thinking, oh, praying means we bow our heads, two or three people. And we have found over the years that we don't need to get into those, or we can get out of those ruts by just thinking a little more carefully about it. And this evening, we're going to have this Christmas prayer service, and we're going to use a variety of things in this service. We can pray in a variety of ways. We can sing prayers. We can pray silently. We can read Scripture as prayer. We can pray spontaneously in small groups. We can pray spontaneously as a larger group. In terms of posture, we can stand. We can kneel. We can sit as we're talking to God. And we're going to do all of that tonight, some of which you may feel uncomfortable with, and you don't have to, but there's going to be a variety of things happening in the next 45 minutes or whatever we have in front of us. We're going to invite the Apostle John to be our prayer tutor. We'll be in John chapter 1. You don't need to turn there because we're going to be seeing that text. It'll guide us through the evening, John 1, 1 to 18. Where he explains in powerful descriptive terms what really happened at Christmas when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Son of God became a man. We're going to walk through that section of John's Gospel line by line and allow its truth to guide what we say to God corporately and personally. So to prepare ourselves for this time of praying, let's just listen to the piano as Pam plays, and you can just bow your heads before the Lord, and let's listen and just prepare our hearts for what will follow. From this point on in the service, our focus is going to be vertical. We'll be talking not about God, but to God. And we'll begin that in just a moment. But I will say this, we're going to have communion later in this prayer time. So if you didn't receive the communion elements when you came in, just raise your hand right now and make sure that we can get those to you, because we will not be taking a break when we get to that point. Did anybody not get the communion elements that wants them? Great. Okay. Well, let's begin allowing John's text to guide us one phrase at a time. Father, in a couple of weeks, we will be celebrating the birth of your Son. We want to worship you tonight for the amazing thing you've done. But Father, it's so easy for us to be influenced by the world's thinking and become sentimental about Christmas and miss the significance of it. Would you use the inspired words you gave the Apostle John to help us grasp the true meaning of this day? And would you use these words to help us call on your name tonight in a way that will please you? Thank you, even now, for how you will work in that way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Oh God, in the beginning, before you created this universe, there was just you. You are God, there is none else. We praise you, triune God. We know that in eternity past, you existed in perfect fellowship as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We acknowledge, Father, that your Son, the Word, was with you in the beginning. He is equal to you. He told us while on earth that if we've seen him, we've seen you. We confess, O God, that far too often we have shallow, small views of you and specifically your Son. We have tended to think of your Son as a lowly babe in a manger, but failed to see him as God Almighty. Please use your word right now to expose these errors and exalt your Son in our midst. As a congregation, we want to affirm the truth about Christ by reading together from the Scriptures. And now some of you will be reading texts that were given to you. In fact, let's read this text together that's on the screen, together in unison. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you've given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And this verse from Romans 11. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. We want to proclaim your greatness now by standing and singing to you, O great God. Let's stand. Two verses.
Amen.
things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. Father, we know that this world exists because You designed it. And what You designed, Your Son created. He made everything. Nothing exists apart from Him. Again, we want to affirm this truth by reading together from Your Word. Let's read together. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. Because You're Creator, Lord, You're worthy of all praise. This is why we sing to You now these words. You may remain seated. Was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Father, Your Son is life and light. He is the light of the world. You sent John to prepare the world for His arrival, and then You sent the Son. But when He came to the world, men did not recognize Him. Worse than that, men rejected Him. Men loved darkness rather than light. Lord Jesus, when you left heaven and came to earth 2,000 years ago, you did not receive what you deserve. There was no room for you. People clung to their own agendas and rejected you. King Herod loved his power and rejected you. Your own family members misunderstood you and rejected you. The religious leaders loved their religion and standard of living and rejected you. And the world followed suit. They loved darkness and rejected you. But it's not just that men loved darkness. They still do. And left to ourselves, we still do. As we examine our hearts tonight, it shames us to realize how prone we are to love darkness rather than light. And we need your help right now. Help us to see the idols in our hearts, the things that we've given greater priority than you. Help us to identify these idols so that we can confess and forsake them right now. We want to spend time in silent prayer before you, O God. And if we're physically able, we bow now before you for this time of personal confession to you. Let's take a couple of moments for this. For listening. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for coming to earth to save us. When you came to earth the first time, there was no room for you. But tonight, we want you to know there's room. There's room in my heart, in our hearts, for thee. And we sing to you now as we reflect on that. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Lord Jesus, we know that You came to set us free. As sinners, we all entered this world cut off from God. In fact, we were enemies of God. But You came to rescue us. You fulfilled the law's demand by living a perfect life. Then You gave Your life to make an atonement for our sins. You died in our place. But You didn't stay in the grave. On the third day You arose. And a few weeks later You ascended back to Your throne at Your Father's right hand. Oh Lord, how marvelous is the work You've accomplished. You are our hope. You alone are our hope. We who are enemies of God are now children of God, all because of You. We've been saved because we've received You and believed in Your name. We are children of God, not because of human decision or merit, but because we have been born of God. And we want to praise You now for coming to save us as we sing these next two songs. So much to say about Your love. We want to affirm the nature of Your love by declaring what Your own word says. And now several of you will be leading and reading out some of these passages from God's word.
Neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. This is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are.
This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
You mean so much to us, Lord. But there are many people in this world who don't know about your love. They don't know you. And this grieves us. We want to pray right now for our unsaved family members and neighbors and friends, people we work with, go to school with. Help them to know your love that surpasses knowledge. And at this time, I'd like to have two or three of you just stand and lead out in spontaneous prayers for those who are lost that we're burdened for. Two or three of you, if you would, please.
Lord, we have all kinds of folks in our lives who need to know you, need to be saved, need to know the truth of your word. I just pray, Lord, that you'd burden us to be bold and to talk to the ones we need to talk to about you and about their sin against you and how you can reconcile them and bring them back to you. I just pray that your name would be honored and glorified in what we say and do, and that we would be willing to talk with people.
Father, we are your children, and we now pray for our children. And we thank you and we praise you for those of our children that have come to you, and it brings us great joy. Lord, we're waiting and we're calling on you for those other children that have not come to know your Son yet. We just pray that perhaps in this season it would please you to touch their hearts and to open their eyes and to bring them to an eternal life with you. We thank you, Lord, and we trust you with our children. And we ask you to have mercy in our families.
Father, I pray for those perhaps for whom we've been praying for many years, for their salvation, for their hearts to open to the word of the gospel. Father, understanding from your word that it's you that opens the heart to hear with faith the gospel. And so we again bring them to you. We pray that in them that the blessing of transgressions forgiven, the blessing of iniquity forgiven, would open their hearts to Christ. Father, we come to you asking for mercy, asking for grace on their lives. We know the great joy and peace and hope and love found in your Son. And we want it for them. We trust you, God, that you're good in this long season of prayer for our loved ones and friends who have yet to come to faith. We trust you. We know that the Lord Jesus testified, Father, to your goodness. And we look to him and believe with him that you are good. And we persevere in prayer. You say the Lord Jesus taught us to persevere in prayer like the woman in Luke 18, that we ought to not lose heart and keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking and trusting in your goodness for salvation. So we come to you, Lord. We have nowhere else to go, No one else has the words of life. So we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Father, there's a special group of people that's on my heart, and we bring it to you now. We have members of this church that come faithfully by themselves, and they have spouses that don't love you. And we're so thankful for those that come. This is their forever family. But we would so love to see their spouse come to know you and come. And so, as has just been mentioned, we pray together now that you will save them, that we will see that glorious work happen, that there would be spouses that are just gloriously transformed by your Spirit's work. I think also of children and parents. Some are coming and have great burdens with these family members. And we're just asking, again, as has been asked, would you save? You're the God that raises the dead. You've raised us from the dead. You've given us new life. Would you do that for these individuals? And we will praise you and thank you. Thank you for hearing us. Father, in Romans 8, Paul said that if you loved us enough to give us the gift of your Son, you'll also give us everything else we need in life so that we can become like your Son. Oh, how generous you are. We're a needy people. In the next few minutes, we want to express to you the needs that are on our hearts, and we want to pray about these needs in our brothers and sisters' lives. What I'm envisioning now, brothers and sisters, I'd like for us to get into groups of three or four people, could be with those right by you, and just ask the person to your right, what's on your heart tonight? And let's take about 3 minutes to pray for the needs in that group of three or four. If you're like, I don't feel comfortable praying out loud, you don't have to do that. But let's get with three or four people and just spend time praying. Pam will be playing for the next 3 minutes or so. When the piano finishes, that'll be our time to come back together. And you can spread out, utilize the room around the room here during this time. And now we want to sing to you this third verse from Away in a Manger. His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. These words stagger us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You, Almighty God, became one of us. You didn't just visit the earth. You took up residence here, and You did so as a human being. Your Word tells us the incredible story of how it happened, and we listen to that now.
Book of Matthew, chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
John said he saw your glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, Lord, you became a man. You came to earth as the God-man, Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. We praise you for what you've done by singing to you, He is Lord, all three verses, and then the chorus, and then we'll go into, O Come, All You Faithful, just the third verse.
Yeah.
are you faithful? John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Lord, it is so true. From the fullness of your grace, we truly have received one blessing after another. So often we ask you for things, and you've invited us to do that. But right now, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for the many blessings you've given us from the fullness of your grace. We call upon you now to say thank you for your blessings. Let's offer to God a series of prayers of thanks to Him. Several of you, please lead out.
Lord, we thank you for leading us through a time of pandemic, a time of when we were to be away from this building for health reasons. But yet you blessed us in so many ways. This year we reflect on the biggest new members class that we've had in years. God, our giving is up, and yet we weren't here for part of the year, and God, this is all attributed to you and allowing us to see you in your glory and others as well. So we praise you and thank you for those things.
Father, thank you. You are so transcendent and marvelous and holy and beautiful and majestic, and yet you came to us to come and dwell with us. You're with us now through your Holy Spirit and your Word and your people. Thank you.
Father, thank you for the assurance we have because you have declared us your adopted firstborn sons, and you know that even applies to the ladies, and that we all are privileged to be members of your family through the work that Christ provided on our behalf that seals us to know it now with the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a guarantee, and we look forward to the day that we spend eternity with you. We are so thankful for the hope we have in Christ.
Holy Spirit, you guided the Apostle John to conclude his explanation of the meaning of Christmas with these words: "No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who's at the Father's side, has made him known." God, you're a spirit. You're invisible. But 20 centuries ago, your Son robed himself in human flesh. He left your side and revealed yourself to us. That's what Christmas is all about. And we know that Christmas isn't the end of the story. Your wonderful Son grew up living a perfect life, and then he gave his life as a ransom payment for us. He died on a cross in our place. You want us to remember that. This is one of the reasons you gave the ordinance of communion, to remember what he did, to do so in remembrance of me, as he said. And so we do now. Let's take the bread if you can take that out, and let's prepare to receive that. Your word gives us this direction. For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Ed Ruggles, would you lead us in a prayer of thanks as we prepare to receive the bread?
Father, we are indeed. How do we fathom the sacrifice made on our behalf as we were so unworthy? You have indeed blessed us here. We are so thankful for that, Father. Our desire is for you to have all the glory all the time, as you so richly deserve to bless you.
And we receive this with great appreciation. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Jack Brannon, would you lead us in a prayer as we prepare to receive the cup?
Father, thank you again for the privilege we have in renewing our thoughts about Christmas and the Christian season, the birth of Christ. Pray that you will help us to greatly understand and greatly appreciate that you came from, you sent your Son from the heavenly throne to die on earth for us. Thank you for each one here. And if Christ is Savior, pray that you would direct each of our thoughts, each of our attitudes, and make maintain a good understanding of your word. So we are thankful for the privilege of being here, for taking this service tonight, for taking the elements. We ask that you would help us to realize and direct us and help us to live for you.
Let's take the cup in remembrance of him. Father, we know you because of what your Son has done for us. We are your people because of what he did. We will spend eternity with you because of what he did. It's all because of what he did. And so to conclude this prayer service, we want to crown him with many crowns by lifting our voices to you in song. And so let's stand and sing these four verses.
Yeah.
God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being a part of this prayer service tonight. Go in peace.